All right, so we've been talking about equipped for the work of ministry. And we've been talking about equipped for the work of ministry. And I'm just going to speak briefly for about 10 to 20 minutes. Then I am done for today. I believe this thing has been provoking your mind in a particular way. I believe it's been challenging you in a particular way. I believe it's been causing you some sleepless night and excitement of your future or excitement for your future. I believe so many things are happening in your heart and in your spirit because of the things that you've been hearing these few weeks that have passed, if not over 2 months now. By God's grace, I've been blessed with the opportunity that I can start a series that will go for a long period of time. So if you're not careful with me, you would get lost in the way. If you do not go back reviewing your notes and catching the things that you'd have learned before, you will not begin to place value as we journey forward, because as we journey forward, the engagement flips open in different ways. Are you somebody who is just living your life? There is a difference between human doing and human being. Are you just somebody who is just doing? Or are you somebody who is living? Do you have a reason why you live? The songwriter says, you never know why you are alive until you have something to die for. Do you have something to die for? Do you have a cause? Do you have a purpose? Do you have a call? Do you have a reason why you are alive? Or are you at the place where you are searching to find what is that substance or relevance for life that you have to live for? Are you in the place of search? Or you have discovered, you have found out, and you are in pursuit of that particular call? Each and every one of us, we have a call from God. Some of us are called into business. Some of us are called into ministry as teaching, preaching. Some of us are called to be engineers. Some of us are called to be world leaders. Some of us are called to be presidents of nations and all. Are you at the place of discovery, or you have found that and you are living for it? If you've not discovered that, my prayer is that the Lord will open for us to see, will open for you to see, that heaven will begin to engage you, or you begin to engage heaven differently, and that you will give yourself to that thing. Have you discovered it, and have you given or sold yourself totally to it? Because from our discussion, let me review that and just top up a little the conversation this morning, the next 15 minutes or so, and then I am done. We said that the call is a summon from God that overrides our personal preferences. And as we went through this, it led us to begin to talk about Philippians chapter 3. And so today my plan is to go into Philippians chapter 3. And it's loaded. I don't know how I'm going to do it. So we'll do part and we leave. Then we continue next week. The call. Are you called into business? Are you called into politics? Are you called into national affairs? Are you called into education? Are you called into whatever environment you are called into? It is a summons from God that overrides your personal preferences. It overrides sometimes your family obligations. Sometimes it puts a demand upon you. You would have heard a testimony of men, including me, how even resources that we could use for family enjoyment, we now carry it and place it into the cause of the things of God. How even not get global conferences? I have to shut down accounts outside the country, bring the money in and use it for a conference, and then I am criticized for that. There are people in the church who are, and this and that is not, instead of giving the money to them to enjoy, you are giving the money to do conference. When I am actually expecting, Matt, you're laughing. When I'm actually expecting that those complaining will also carry money and come and join me and we all invest into the kingdom, I became a product of scorn, tongue lashing and all. Because the call of God, the demand of heaven, overrides your personal comfort. Today, if I want to get into all of this, it will explode. The Bible says that woe to you who are comfortable in Zion. In Zion, there is none that comfort of your own. The comfort and the liberty that we have, we are only free when we are sold to the cause of God. In Zion. It's a woe to you who lie on ivory beds and you strum your pipe instrument like David. You are not David, but you are behaving like David. And you lie on ivory bed. It's a woe to you in Zion. So the call of God is a summon that overrides every aspect of our lives and becomes the internal driver for one's life. It becomes the compass that guides you, that leads you, that drives you forward. The call of God. Whether you are called a preacher. So when you see people who understand, for example, who are committed to a ministry, committed to a family, an ecclesia, and a cause, it means that they have discovered that they belong to the place and that they are supposed to give up their best and all that they have to support that cause. They know it's the bank of God that does not fail. So pastors will not go and beg instrumentalists to come and play. Pastors will not go and beg people to come and lead prayer. Pastors will not go chasing and begging people, oh, come to church. Yes, there are people like that. They are novice. We know them. But those who would have been matured and understand, because the call of God lives inside the realm of maturity. Once I understand that I have a call and I'm giving myself to it, I am on the journey towards complete maturity. Oh my God. The kingdom principle of being a child. I'll come to these things. It says when you are old, somebody takes you and dresses you up. He takes you where you don't want to go when you are old, when you are mature. But when you are young, you run everywhere. You think I can do. Maturity in the kingdom is being young like a child and throwing your will into the hands of your father and say, take me wherever you want me to go. And daddy, I'll not go there. I said, you are going. It means that you are submitted to become mature. But those who hold on to their will, they have never matured yet. They are disobedient, recalcitrant. So the call of God summons you and places a demand upon you that you have no choice otherwise. Let's read some few scriptures, then I can get into this and see how I will do it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, the verse 12 down, and my goal is to get to the verse 15. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. 13, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gifts that is in you. Do not neglect the gifts that is in you. Paul is giving a charge to Timothy. Do not neglect the gifts, the call, the potential of the call that lies in you. Do not neglect it and focus on another. Do not abandon it and be at the port of waiting. Be involved, engage. Do not neglect your gifts. So the question is, have I discovered my gift, my talent? Have I discovered that unique call? If I've discovered it, I don't want to neglect it. I don't want to neglect it. That specialty, that thing that God have attached to you, all of us, we have it. Do not neglect your gift. And those of us online who are following, it is the word of God to us. Do not neglect your gifts, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the elders. 15. Meditate on these things. Meditate. Think upon it. Consider it. Roll it over. Look at every side. Tear it open. Look into the context. What is there? Why is this gift not working the way it should be working? Begin to examine and ask questions. Yesterday I was talking about turn aside and examine the burning bush of your life. Begin to go into the gift. Meditate. The word meditate, there are so many words. There are so many words that mean meditate. To ponder over the thing. To roll it over. To think upon. Spend time with your gift. You are the best company. You and your gift in your skin is the best company. Do not neglect your gift in support of another. The Shunammite woman in 2018, my provocation was one of the scriptures in the Bible, Songs of Solomon, the Shunammite woman. It says that do not despise me because I am dark. It says that my brothers made me, kept their farm, but my own farm I didn't keep. Do not neglect me because I am dark. Do not abandon your gifts in support of another. Sometimes we become too loyal to a fault when we are supposed to depart and move into the next level. We don't. Oh, is you know that person, and you will stay there and your seasons pass. I am here to tell you that engage your gifts. It is good for a young man. In fact, it is good for one to bear his burden when he is young. When you become old, will you continue to bear your burden? It is time to engage your gifts. Time to study, time to search, time to meditate, time to ponder, time to ask questions, time to matter, time to regurgitate like the ruminants. They put the food in a certain chamber, and then when everything is settled, they now bring it out of the chamber and they chew upon it, chew upon the gift, chew upon the gift. Spend time with your core.
Thank you.
Sometimes we get distracted, brothers and sisters. We get distracted. Why do we get distracted? Oh, look at the people are scattering away from me. Oh, look at that one's church. It's so big. Oh, let me go and see what he's doing. They that look at lying vanities. When I started teaching this, I quoted that scripture. They that look at lying vanities forfeit their own grace. They that look at lying idols forfeit their own grace. I have come to a conclusion. Those who abandon their call and their gifts are idol worshippers. What is an idol? An idol is a false representation of God. What is an idol? An idol is something that looks like God, behaves like God, talks like God, but it's not God. What is an idol? An idol is a diversion. It is not God, but it pretends to be God. It doesn't have the power of God, and you go pursuing it. And that is how people lose their glory, they lose their capacity, they lose their opportunities, and they lose their relevance. So, when the people were scattering, I waited for you. God, I've been waiting. Job says, all the days of my life, I will wait until my change comes. He says, so I decided to be a priest. Were you called to be a priest and a prophet? No, you are a king. Wait. Wait is wait. Okay. Meditate is meditate. Engage is engage. He went and killed lambs and sacrificed. And so someone came and said, what is happening? A And what are those sheep that I'm hearing bleating? We brought them so that we can. Did God not say that meditate on your call? Did God not say that don't bring anything, kill everything? He said, no, I'm helping God, and he's delaying. I need to help him. We move fast so that we get into this call and fulfill it. If there is a delay, go back to the one who gave the call and the gift and ask questions. Why? What is happening? Engage. He is willing to tell you something.
Thank you.
He is willing to talk to you. He is willing to engage you. The Father is a father. He says that you even wicked righteous, you are righteous. You think you buy the best things for your children. You give them a place to sit. He says, you who are wicked, you give good gifts unto your children. How much more your heavenly Father will he not give you the Spirit when you ask? The Father is already at an offered position to give to us the things that we ask. That must fulfill the call. Listen, I said, if I want to get into it, because there are scriptures flowing in my mind. And a lot of our young men define success by big, small. Small is not success. Big is success. And so Saul gave his excuse, and so Samuel was standing to leave. He held Samuel's clothes and he told him, the end of your gift and your calling and your throne and your reign. You've ended. It's important. Listen, on the day of judgment, I don't know, but this is what I see. It says many will come to me and say, Father, I did this. Oh, in your name, Jesus, we cast out demons. I said, Lydia, I don't know you. He said, I think I need to come and teach that too. It's called kingdom compliance and legality. Everything you do on this earth must be compliant with heaven and must be legal. Legal because was it approved by heaven? Number two, throughout the process of delivery, are you supposed to deliver one and you went to deliver two? Are you supposed to deliver 10 and you went to deliver 5? Are you compliant? Hey, listen, the call is a serious matter. It is not about getting some breakthrough and walking away. Like this hanky-panky check thing we have done, the me-me-I check thing that we have done. It is not about getting some miracle and just becoming so good. God gives us breakthroughs and miracles and is happy to give to us. But the most powerful thing on the earth is a revelation of purpose. Apart from the Holy Spirit, Bible says there are many devices in the heart of a man. Nevertheless, Proverbs 19:21, nevertheless, the purpose of God will stand. Many devices in your mind, many ways to go, but at the end of the day, leave me, you workers of iniquity, lawless people. You are not legal. When the word uses when the Bible uses the word lawless, the word in the Greek is anomia. Anomia means you have become a law unto yourself. You have become what? A law unto you. Who is your God? You have become your own God. Who is your guide? You are your own guide. But miracles, signs, and wonders are happening. Testimonies are happening. But you are a God to yourself. You are not compliant. You are not legal. The call. I can't go into Proverbs, Philippians chapter 3. I will leave it. Let me quote some scripture. I started reading a scripture. Let me get there. The call is a sermon. You don't have a choice, but you have to answer to it. And so when there are people sitting in this house, they have to discover themselves and know that this is what I am called to do. And I give myself to do it. Not because I am paid. Not because I receive some opportunities. And so long as opportunities no longer coming, I'm not coming to the meeting. We are in a business. That is what you are trying to tell me. You are a businessman. I am a client. That's what you are telling me. And you have received all your reward here on the earth. Finish. May Jehovah help us to have insight. May Jehovah help us to serve our generation in our gifts and callings. May Jehovah make us not to be a people that chase after money. The call is not a place where people are jockeying each other, jostling each other, competing with each other for some money.
The call is a fulfillment of destiny and heaven's purpose. Your will be done on the earth as it is in the heaven, as it is in heaven. That is the call. This chase after money, this chase after popularity, this chase after I am the biggest, I am the man of God for the hour, and all of that is rubbish. I wish I can go into Philippians 3. It's rubbish. Paul said, I count them all. I've evaluated them all. They are all rubbish compared to. He says that I'll be found in him, not to have a righteousness of my own according to the law, but that I will have his righteousness. Ultimate, the call. Kadushikipaha. It says that meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Charles, what does your translation say? Another translation says, give yourself wholly. Be sold out. Pray about it. Pray into it. Pray concerning it. Think it. Morning, afternoon, evening. Meditate. Plan concerning it. Talk about it. When you are lying down, when you are on the road, when you are driving, when you are online, let it be your conversation, because it is in that you have your freedom. The call will sustain you. People are not sold out. They are getting distracted. So they will come to an environment. For example, they may come here. Maybe they come and play small. Or they come and do something to themselves small. Then they leave. Then they go to another place. You are hopping. You are like a plant that is uprooted every 3 days and planted in another environment. You will never grow. You will die. The call is so powerful that we cannot do anything without the call. Without you, I am nothing, not in at all. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, without you I am nothing, nothing at all, yeah. Holy Ghost, ha. I'm provoking you this morning. I just want the things that I've said to you to sink. Let it sink. Be tossing on your bed because of your call. Be tossing on your bed. It is good for a young man to bear his burden in his youth. Not when you are 60. Not when you are 70. Listen, let me tell you why I took my schooling serious. One day, my late father in the Lord, we had a big meeting, and there's this lady, we're very close to him and close to the ministry. The entire family, they loved him. They just love him. They'll be in his meetings. They'll bring him gifts. They just love him. They were living in Jericho. So one day, we finished a meeting, then I followed the lady and I think the junior brother to their house. And they know me, and everybody in the family knows me. So when I went, we were sitting, we were talking. No, it was one occasion. So we went past there and we were talking. Then I was left alone and their father came to sit by me. And their father started engaging me. And their father, you know, my late father in the Lord calls me Michelle. So their father said, Michelle, what are you doing now? Are you in school? What are you doing? I said, then I was, I was selling insurance, or I was trying to, doing this and that and that and that. He said, Michelle, when you are young, your work is digging. You have energy, you can dig. But Michelle, when you grow old, will you continue to dig?
This is the question he asked me. He said, Michelle, go back to school, equip yourself, get skills, be ready for the future. So that I invest, so that when you enter into the future, the work you did today will take care of you. I'm here this morning to provoke you. You have to begin to pray in a way you have not prayed. You have to get off your bed of ivory. Do you want me to show you the scripture in Amos? Okay, somebody says I should. Let me go to Amos first. I'll come back to Timo, Brother Timo. I'll come back to Brother Timo soon. Let me. This morning, I'm not teaching it the way I would have wanted to teach it, but listen. You have to hear this. Go with me to the book of Amos. One of my favorite books in the Bible. Amos. Brother Amos. Without you, I am nothing. Nothing at all. Holy Ghost, you are the life that I live. You are the life that I live. Holy Ghost, I rely on you. Precious Holy Ghost, I rely on you. I depend on you. Reassuring Holy Ghost, I depend on you. Come on. Amos chapter 6. Woe to you who are at ease in Zion and trust in Mount Samaria, notable persons in the chief nation, to whom the house of Israel comes. Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Say, what to you? And the things that you trust into, they are notable persons in government. And the children of Israel even run to, they are not looking for the real thing. Oh, Jesus. Let me jump and read further. Woe to you, the verse 3. Woe to you who put fat. No, let me go to the verse 4. Who lie on bed of ivory, stretch out on couches, eat lamb from the flock, and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idly. You know, when you can sing idly, like a Buzma. They sing idly. There is nothing that matters about life anymore. Woe to you! Purpose is the greatest thing. We cannot joke with our lives anymore. I'm provoking you. You have to begin to pray differently. You have to begin to think differently. You have to begin to think 50 years from now. You have to begin to think 40 years from now, 20 years from now. You have to be ahead of your generation. Sometimes your speech may never be understood. I know that sometimes the things that I teach, people will not understand them until I am 100, until I am 200 and the Lord have taken me and I am gone like Enoch. Then they shall say, but he said these things 50 years ago when he was teaching, we didn't understand. May God give us understanding.
Amen.
Look, let's stop joking. This church thing, I'm going to look for breakthrough, a miracle. We are not. My purpose, where are you? My purpose, where are you? When you discover, see a man who walks in his purpose, the Bible says that you can't subvert him, or to subvert a man from his course, the Lord does not permit. That is why you see an unbeliever who has discovered his purpose is pursuing it. Devils are on holiday by him. They attack him small and they leave him. And you see a believer who is lawless and he is receiving slaps from devils left and right and left and right. May Jehovah save us.
Amen.
The devil knows that when you discover his purpose, you discover your purpose, your gift, he becomes powerless.
So he will keep you with religion. He will keep you with a thing that allows you to remain on the ground. He will keep you in the place of less pursuit. You are careless and you lie on the bed of ivory with some good rum and wine. And you are singing idly.
I saw a song, I like it. It says, my brother, do not, when you arrive there before I come, wait for me. I've just been held back by the chores in the house, something like that. Some country music.
Listen, let me continue. Just look at, he said, who sing idly to the sound of string instruments and invent for themselves musical instruments like David, who drink wine from bowls and anoint yourselves with best ointment, but are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. But are not grieved for the affliction of a people who are not walking in purpose and their gifts. We have become stomach direction preachers, stomach direction believers, me, I, and I'm not looking to walk in my purpose. I ask a question. They were, God himself said, I have 7,000 who have ever bowed down to Baal or Kisbal. Where are they? What did they do? They were in the purpose of God. We don't know their name, but God is making a boast about them. We don't know the churches they raised, but God is making a boast about them. The believer, your best place you can be is to stay upright. Upright means staying within your call and your purpose. And you know what it does? In the realm of the spirit, a man who is not even visible to the eyes of men, but becomes very visible to the powers that be. Because where he is standing, he creates turbulence. So let me give you an example. Let me give you an example in scripture. I can give you several of them, but let me just give you one. Paul was talking about doing good to people, even when they do bad to you. And he said in the book of Romans that when you do that, it is like you are heaping coals of fire on the person. Can you imagine? You are righteous. The more they do evil to you, you are standing righteous. It is like heaping coals of fire. Now in the Greek, or in the Greek understanding of that analogy, it is like somebody who is carrying coals of fire, and because of the burning power of the coals, it creates discomfort. So it's making the person move. It's making the person move and change position from doing evil to come into good. The best place you can be as a believer to remain upright, and you see God making a boast of you, even though nobody knows you in the land. Nobody knows you across the city. Nobody knows you across the nation. Nobody knows your ministry. Nobody knows what you do. Nobody knows what you do. But demons have recognized you. Jesus, we know. Paul, we have been told to be careful about him. But you, who are you? That is how we win our warfare. So when I start teaching about spiritual warfare, it doesn't start with, spiritual warfare doesn't start there. Spiritual warfare starts with a place of uprightness. When Elijah said, I am the only man of God for the hour, God says, it's finished. You move away from the righteous line. I have 7,000 who have never bowed down nor kissed Baal, and they are not even thinking. It has never even gone through their mind that they will collapse one day and kiss Baal. What are you talking about, Elijah? You have ended it. Go and anoint Elisha. Anoint Jehu. Anoint that one. Finish. Run. And he's on the run. Elijah, what are you doing here? I've been jealous. Strange. Listen, people have mistakes. We have to be serious with our lives. We have only one life and we must as well live it. Let me repeat that. You have only one life and you must as well live it. You must live it in a very dignified manner. I must live this life in a very joyful, in style and with dignity, in great execution. I have to live this life. Not just anyhow. Like I say, when you do anyhow, you see anyhow. This is
says, when I go into prayer, Father, why is this thing not working? Why is this thing like this? If I've been able to see visions about people, somebody I've never seen before, and I am online, once I see your name, and I'm beginning to see visions, and I'm prophesying, and the person is confirming, that gift can also lead me to know how I can invest in something. Father, show me that single thing that will make me prosper, that will make me a kingdom powerhouse. Lord, why is the ministry not going the way I saw it? Lord, what is happening? Is there any hindrance? Am I in your will? Am I in God? What is it? Have I done something wrong? God, Makato. And I'm asking questions when I'm engaged in heaven because I want to be legal and I want to be compliant. If God says, my friend, shut up and stay. Do what you are doing. Don't worry. The fruit will come tomorrow. Then I know I'm legal and compliant. And I'm like Habakkuk. Even though the fold may be empty, I shall rejoice in the Lord. Even though there shall not be a fruit on the fig tree, praise the Lord, I will rejoice. Listen, when you embrace the call of God upon your life, you will come into all kinds of oppositions. Because you would love to go this way, your preference. But the call says, I've summoned you, be here. Don't travel for the next 5 years. Ah, God, what are you saying? Immediately God says, don't travel. Then somebody brings fat money and says, oh, we want you to come and minister in this place. And we're going to have a package. We're going to bless you. We'll bless you $100,000. And you sleep in five-star hotel. You can come with 5 members of your team and this and that. And God says, don't move. And you're looking at $100,000. And he's breathing. And you too, you know, have you seen that advert on TV before? So when I see pito boiling, I am happy. Have you seen that advert before? Have you seen that advert? Oh, Abed, you've not seen it before? Oh, those days, TV. When I see pito boiling, I am happy. You are seeing dollar, $100,000 boiling. Oh God, God, I'll go. Oh God, are you sure you said? Are you sure? Are you sure I should be an engineer? God, life is difficult. Oh, that is money. God, God, you let me go and come. You are not compliant. Listen, people have become too comfortable seeking breakthroughs. And not seeking the breakthroughs of ultimate eternal impact. Whatever we do here echoes in eternity. Whatever we do here echoes in eternity. So whatever life I live, then why not me live it right? Silently, my steps that I'm taking is echoing eternity. This thing that I'm preaching is provoking angels to look into it and get understanding and bring revelation. And an angel is touching somebody and opening the person's eye, opening understanding, and giving the person some design in her mind, in his mind. Oh, I need to do something. Oh, I've forgotten that vision I had many years ago. I will go back and dust it. I will chuck myself up. I will jostle myself and run ahead. Something is stirred in the spirit, because whatever we do on this earth in this life echoes in eternity. It has impact in eternity. That is why God will make a boast of 7,000 who have never bowed down to Baal or Kis Baal. That is why. But when you land on the other side, you shall see a lot of purposeless men and women who have a sense of comfort and arrival, who are not given wholly to their course and journey, who are lying on beds of ivory and have invented for themselves musical instrument like David. You're not David, but you have done one musical in you. You are trying to play like David.
Okay.
Please go and read that scripture. I love it. Amos, I love it. Hosea, well, I love them. There's something in there. How can you? Listen to the verse 8. The Lord God has sworn by himself. The Lord God of hosts says, I abhor the pride of Jacob and hate his
palaces. Therefore, I will deliver up the city and all that is in it.
In Zion, there is no akpasa. It's a men and women on purpose. I challenge you. Begin to engage heaven differently. God has something to deliver to you. This next level fasting and prayer, God has something to give to you. This next level fasting and prayer, God is about to do something to us. I don't know what it is, but God is about to bring us into something. Fast. Even if you have to crawl to arrive there, we will crawl to get there. God is about to explode us. God is about to bring us into relationships, connections, divine connections that will change our world and set us. In fact, this morning I was thinking, why not change? If I had seen it earlier, I would have changed the team next level to birthing the next level.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I was in the shower and I was praying and I would have changed this thing to betting the next level. In fact, this thing is about betting the next level. This thing is about the people stepping to the next level. When is the next holiday? Please, Albert, organize a stretch prayer. Betting the next level. The next holiday coming. Get wisdom. Get a flyer ready. It's from now to December. The Akufado should give us a holiday. Organize it. Okay? Organize it. If you are in the spirit, you would have heard a team for next year already. Akumbizi gatugi bakudi bigatayaka asiende ketokapa. We shall not go down. Without you, I am nothing. Nothing at all. Holy Ghost. Yesterday, I was on Facebook Live and then somebody came up and I said, and the Lord opened my eyes and I started seeing into a shrine like a mala. I told them, my mouth cannot stop. The mouth continued to run. I tried holding it and more came. And I know maybe he doesn't like it. But it's true. What I'm saying, I know it's true. I can mention a location to him. I almost even mentioned a location online. But I held it. He doesn't know God will bless him. And he has been in the services before. He comes from Accra. But where are we? I'm going to just finish with this scripture. The call. We can teach it for the rest of our lives. Meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly, entirely to that, and entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. You see, if you do not give yourself to your gift, your call, your purpose, I want every one of you this week, as part of the fasting and prayer, you want to do something personally with yourself. You want to either your phone or your notepad, you want to engage heaven. You want to ask God, what is that gift? Number two, you yourself, you want to look at yourself. What is that gift you identify? What's that special thing about you? You want to write it down, you want to note it. I know I can do A, B, C, D. I know this is the gift of prophecy. I know this is a gift of engineering. I know I have artistic gift. I know I can create stories. You know your brother's wife. Your brother's wife. Those days they came down there. I was having this prophetic training. And as we went through the prophetic training, one day I looked at her, I said, I'm seeing you writing stories, short stories and cartoons. You know she can draw. Oh, where ask her? Where tell her, I said, it's time for the gift to awake. If she had caught that thing very well and entered into it, she can draw and write little stories. Short story, like stories for children. She would have published many, many, many books. Go and ask her. Tell her it's time to revive the gift, to start drawing little cartoons.
I remember the one
who
came and said it.
I said it many, many years ago. 2015. I said it long ago to her.
It is time for her to awaken that gift and draw little stories and write storybooks, social storybooks, get an online page and begin to upload them there and put 5 CD on it, 10 CD on it, and people buy it. My God, her name will be all over the nations. Give yourself to them so that your progress will become evident. Give yourself so that your progress, when you giving yourself means so many things. Discipline. Like an athlete, what do? Early in the morning, Usain Bolt, I hear he would put a car tie, they would put a strap around his tummy or his waist, and they would load a tractor tie or something with sand or something, and at the beach he'll be taken to flight and dragging it and trying to build momentum. So when the guy takes off, he's taking off as if it is tractor ties that they've tied to him, and he takes off with jet speed on up. He like a turbo engine, boom, he's gone. Listen, let's add some discipline to the call. Reading books, researching, finding out how do I do this thing. If I give yourself to it, means so many things. I can't teach it now. Prayer. The right set of friends. Attending conferences. Being in meetings. Serving where the gift begins. Serving small. Then your leader, if it's prophesied, let's say, go and prophesy. Then you go prophesy small. Then you relax. And it is coming. It is rising. It is building. It is working. And then they say, come on, let me lead a prayer. Then you go leading a prayer because you know your place. You are building the gifts.
Thank you.
Huh. 20 minutes is over. Let me just read this scripture and I'm done. Without you, I am nothing. Matthew chapter 19. Let me just read. Peter answered. No, let me start from 23. Matthew 19, 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, Who then can be saved? 28. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." 27. Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" The point I want to go after is we have left all and follow. Next week we shall continue. We have left all and follow. And so what do I want to say here? The call is a summon that overrides your all. The call is a summon. It overrides your all. It overrides your comfort. When you don't want to pray, you pray. When you don't want to sing, you sing. "Oh, today I'm not feeling too well. I don't want to sing. Okay, I will not go to the church. After all, this church thing, if I don't go and then I don't sing, oh, they can do their own thing. In fact, they've been doing it before." You don't know your call. You don't know your place. But they can do without me. It is just only today. God understands you don't know your call. I am preaching even when I'm sick, and I'm not saying it. There was one open heavens. We had a very powerful meeting. When we finished him, he drove me home. I was sick. My back, my waist, my head, my eyes. I'm dying. I preached and ministered. The next Sunday, I came, preached, ministered. Listen, we would have to give ourselves. But if I go but there will not be any keyboards there, and so the drum, come play the drums like that without the keyboards. You didn't come with them.
When God was calling you, he called you alone. When you read the book of Isaiah, he says, I call Abraham alone, and I bless him, your father. So look unto Abraham. No, for that scripture. There are all kinds of things. He said, I call Abraham alone. When I was called, I didn't add Lord to it. I call him alone. So you keep adding your Lord. Oh, the keyboardist is not there, sir, and the drummer will not come, and the guitarist, oh, after all, they don't even give me money. You don't know. You are calling something in addition to you. You will be blind until that thing leaves you. You know, I've changed the way I preach. Some things you have to say it so that people will be saved. If not, they will continue in, like my teacher will say, they are buffoonery. I am done. It is God's design being heralded so that a gift might be developed and released to the nations of the earth. You are a gift to humanity. You are a gift to humanity. God is heralding your release. Come. Your come is your release. But it says, come, you take to flight. No, God is going to look at me, God. Hey, I don't mean me. I'm an engineer. Why is God saying that I should do preaching addition and win? So, hey, come on, I'm taking off. If I will not build the biggest engineering company, you are on your own. I'm a prophet. I don't like big. When God called me, he didn't say I should do business. You go hungry all the days of your life. Okay. Listen, I prophesied over one of my senior pastors. Not my immediate senior, but one of my senior pastors. Even my immediate senior pastor, I prophesied over him. One Sunday, I finished ministering. Look, don't joke with the prophetic. I finished teaching powerfully. This teaching is a bit scattered all over the place. But I finished teaching. And I said, Pastor, please, I want to say something to you. The Lord is saying to me, he's going to bring men and women around you. You're going to help them and provide them finances so they can start their businesses and all of this and da 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 da. Apparently, the Saturday, somebody had gone to him and asking him for help to start a business. And he told the person that the money does not grow on trees. And God, through the small boy, began to rebuke him. And he got understanding. The next Sunday, me, I didn't know. So later I was told, the next Sunday, this man will come to church with some puffu. Do you know puffu envelope? With some puffu envelope. And I saw that the man handed it over to one of the ladies after church. And they had some conversation. Then the person who told me that I was there when the conversation happened Saturday a week ago, then I understood. Okay. Listen, one of our senior pastors, he was sitting by my pastor's wife like that. And I finished teaching. I said, the Lord have opened my eyes. Sir, please, can I prophesy to you like a prophet? I'm a small boy. He's a senior man, so you have to know how to speak. I said, the Lord said, I brought you opportunity one, you gave it to somebody. I brought you opportunity two, you gave it to somebody. I am bringing you a third opportunity. If you give it out, you go hungry all the days of your life. No, I'm bold and I'm saying it. Apparently, this is a pastor who is teaching and preaching, and you say, God is saying, I brought you opportunity one and two, you gave it out. Opportunity is coming. You do and sit down and say, I'm a preacher, I'm preaching. You will go hungry all the days of your life. Apparently, there was an international organization that was engaging him to be their Africa or West Africa field liaison officer. And the thing is money. The thing is travel. 5 years South Africa, 5 years US, 5 years this, 2 years, 1 year here, visa. All over, the guy is traveling. He had an accident, crashed his car. They bought him another one. Listen, we have to stop playing games with God and chasing after breakthroughs. Me, I'll organize Open Heavens because I want to see the glory of God. Because that is a platform I've created to prophesy. Yeah, it's a platform I've created so that my gifts, I'm meditating on the gifts. You don't understand the things I'm talking about? You need to create a platform for the gift. So I've created a platform to be engaging the gifts. And there will be open heavens. God will still move. But if you are wise, you will step into a call. You will chase a call. You just want to look for one fruit and pluck. What is that? You will go back and plucking fruit, but become the fruit tree. You become the mango tree. So you can put up your hand and pluck and eat yourself. And be a supply storehouse to many, 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 many people. It is time for us to stop playing church and play religion and get into real business, significant, relevant living with God. God bless you. I'm done. This week, we're starting our fasting and prayer. 14 days. Birthing the next level. We are birthing the next level. It is a moment of travail. If you know a woman who is pregnant, you understand. When the time of labor has come, you understand. We are birthing the next level. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let's get this announcement and then we can go off live. And then let me talk about money. I need money. I need serious money. And we need to get money. You've not heard the guys, that Nigerian comedy song. It says, if you want to make a woman happy, give her what?
Money.
Did you see? He said, give her what?
Money.
It says, if you are doing what?
Number two, don't forget to give her money.
Number three, number four, if you are going out and you don't have money, go and borrow and give her money. Number five, give her money. We need money. I'm not joking, no. We need money. We need serious money. We need serious money so that your offering can be 1 million. I see you sign 1 million check. I say, wow, we have arrived. We have, in fact, we just arrived and we are taking off to the next level. See you sign $100,000. Oh, and every month, say, Pastor, as for you, every month, the one I'm giving you is $500,000. Then I know something is happening. I said, you, every month I'll change your car for you. The next one is a Maserati. The next one is a Range. And then we can organize our activities and shoot the kingdom. We have powerful messages. We need money. God, give me financial dominion. This morning, that's the prayer I was praying. God, anoint me. Give me prophetic dominion. And give me money dominion, financial dominion. Give me political dominion. Hey, when I go before, when I'm... God, why is this thing not working? God, give me dominion. God, give... Charlie, stop. Where my mind is, we need money. If you want to make Mark to laugh, give him money. If you want to take him to the next level of laughing, more money. Listen. So we start tomorrow, and by God's grace, Tuesday we want to gather to pray, 6 to 8, and we are betting the next level. If you are the first person to enter here,
I'm starting today.
Okay, me, I'm on my own. I've not eaten anyway. I'm on my own. You see, the mind is money. I bet it's laughing. Oh, goodness. Your goodness is running after me. So let's take note of those announcements. We shall be in as well on Thursday, between now through Friday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We are praying. If you're the first person who gets in, start praying. Don't wait for anybody. Once you get in, Makato, Gebe Soko, Dabakapa, Robobosh, begin to pray. And on Thursday, we'll still have our Zoom session because we'll close at 8 and then boom. On the road, we have logged into Zoom. And we are still talking, becoming economic powerhouse. In fact, I started something there. I went a little and left the conversation. I need to go back. Where the money go day. And I pointed to almost about eight particular industries where the money go day. And so the question now is, how do we engage those environments to pull where the money day? So Thursday.